I want to say something to you, and you've heard it before. I make no apologies for that, because I believe repetition is really, really important. I want us tonight to talk about God's three words of evangelism. I'm going to show that as we develop the lesson. What is evangelism? When Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, when he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And then he tells those individuals that he sent out, you tell those, you teach them as a part of your teaching to do whatever I've commanded you to do. And as he commanded them to go, he commands us to go. Evangelism is not optional. Now, we need to understand the fact that Paul says the Lord did not send me to be baptized. Aren't you glad the Lord did not say, go and baptize everybody on this earth? You couldn't do that. Why? Because baptism is a matter of free will. But the Lord did say, I want you to go and teach every creature on this earth. Not everybody can teach. Not everybody has that ability. But I want you to understand tonight when you leave here, there are three words, and they're already on the screen, that every one of us, it makes no difference how young or how old we are. David Bound and Levi and others, here are three words that Jesus wants us to say. David, I want you to say them for me in just a minute, okay? Here are the three words, come and see. You got that? You think your Nana, Mimi, Momo, what, that old woman sitting beside you, do you think she knows those three words? David, what are those three words? I can't hear you, I'm sorry. Come and see. All right, that is great. I want you to know every one of us. Now, I would pick on the oldest one who is here, but I'm not sure the oldest one who is here will admit to their age. And so I just want you to understand it covers every one of us. This is a biblical principle. When you leave here tonight, I want you to live with a realization that this is something that I can do. Now, we're going to skip the text of the lesson. We'll be back to that a little bit later in the lesson. But I want you to understand that in this matter of evangelism and in encouraging others to come and see, we rejoice to tell others great news, good news. Do we not? If you knew where you could get gas for $1.75 tonight on the way home, would you not with smile and joy tell other people, I tell you when you get gas for $1.75. Isn't that remarkable? If you knew where you could get some special deal on a new automobile, if you knew where there was a new shop that had just opened up and they were giving away, $50 prizes to everybody that comes, could you tell people about it? And that's true. Now here's a question. Why is it that we struggle to tell people the greatest news? We need to think about that. All of us understand the Great Commission of going and teaching others. What's the reason that we have not done it? Well, there are various reasons that could give. Sometimes people say, I do not know enough, and that may be true. The reality is we may not understand how you do it and what is involved in this. We may not have an interest in doing this. The level of our spirituality is to come and worship God, a couple of times every month if I feel like it, and that's the level of my spirituality. But you and I need to understand and to think soberly about, why am I not doing this? What is there in my life? You see, if I find this great news about the price of gasoline or $50 gifts for everybody that comes, that's good news, and I treasure that and I value that and I value those that are around me, and so I'll tell them about it. Is it perhaps possible that we have not really understood the greatness of the value of that which we have in the knowledge we have about God. Think about what it would be like to not know what the Lord's Supper is all about. There are religions that you can go in America, so-called Christian religion, where you'd never learn what the Lord's Supper was all about. Aren't you glad that you understand how to pray to God and not to, and the fact that we ought to pray to God through Jesus? The largest religion in America talks about praying to the saints. They may not understand how to pray. Or if the prayer that they prayed is a prayer that uses a rosary that is sincerely prayed by many individuals, but is that what prayer is? Aren't you glad to know what prayer is? Is that a treasure to you? And what about salvation? You're talking about a treasure. What about the fact that I have been saved so that I can tell others about it? But I want you to know that there is that which every Christian can do. And that's to use a Bible phrase that we'll show in the rest of this lesson tonight, where people come and try to lead others to the Lord, and it's something every one of us can do. David, I've got a question for you. What are those three words that all of us need tonight to know? Come and see. Come and see. All right, you got that? I hope every one of us has that. Now then, let me point out in the text of the lesson, here are the words from a man after God's own heart. These are the words of David. And so in the first part of this psalm, he says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all of the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome you are. And that's the very thing that we do in our worship, is it not? Do we not even sing that song, our God is an awesome God? And that is just, well, because that's where David was in relationship to this. When you get to the end of verse 4, you see that word at the end of verse 4. It's found several times in the Old Testament, and that is Selah. Nobody knows absolutely sure for what it was, but evidently it was an indication, as you would be singing the psalm, that when you got to this point in the psalm, you would just stop and reflect on what you've just said. So here's David talking about the awesomeness of this God. And then he says in verse 5, come and see the words of God. There's a change of direction in this. I know there is an awesome God. And here for the first time, the Lord says, come and see the works of God. Have you ever thought about how easy that would be for us to say that to others? I'm not talking about having a deep theological discussion with them. But you ever get out of the car at Walmart or some place like that? Have you ever been to a place like that and there's an awesome sunset? Is there any way that you can talk about God in that sunset? I don't care if the person beside you is a believer or not. You could just say, look at that sunset. And then you could say something. I've just been thinking, you know, I wish I could paint that way. But, you know, as great the greatest painters are on this earth, there's nobody that puts the sunset out like that out there like the one who made the world. What have you done? You've taken that individuals who've seen that sunset, and now for the first time, you've tied that sunset to God. And you can do that again and again as you see the beauties of things that God's put around. That's what David says. Come and see the works of God. Here's a person that is not even a believer. How do you call somebody that's not a believer to become a believer? Well, you and I know the background. You know this verse. The heavens declare, you know the rest of that verse. The firmament shows, you know the rest of that verse. Is there not some way that even with that individual who is not even a believer, that we could say to them, look at the beauty of all of this. And if you've not been on the internet and seen that new telescope that is replacing the Hubble telescope, it's the Webb telescope, and see some amazing things that's never ever been seen by any human on this earth, now available right there on your computer. When you look at that and the awesomeness of it, the heavens declare the glory of God. Could you not start that as a conversation to some friend of yours? And let me tell you this, could you not say it to your children? Can you not use this very thing as you go into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature? Could you not magnify God by saying, look at all the works that God has done. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men. Now then, let's look at some individuals and not just those individuals who may not be believers. I want to show you what Jesus did. Jesus used questions to get people interested. In the book of John chapter 1, starting in verse 35, the next day, John saw stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked by, he said to them, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. There's just three people that's there. And here John turns to two of his disciples, and he says, that's the Lamb of God right there. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, you've got to get a picture here. Jesus is walking along, and there are two individuals that are walking behind him. I think it is remarkable how he starts his conversation. What are you looking for? He's ready to use their answer and the things that will come from their answers to lead them to become believers. Now, if they'd said, well, we're looking for loaves and fishes. That's not what they said. They said, Rabbi, we're looking for a teacher. That's what we're looking for. And we don't want to have just some casual conversation. Where are you staying? We want to spend with a rabbi who is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We live in a day and age in which people are seeking, maybe more so in these troublesome times in which we're living than ever in our entire lifetime. Uncertainty about the future, concerned about everything that's happening in the world. And so Jesus said, what are you looking for? Is it possible that you could start a religious conversation that would head individuals to discussing religious matters? What do you think life is all about? What happens when you die? What's the meaning? Why are we on this earth? And that very question might lead them. And for sure, if that individual looks at you and says, you know something, can you teach me? Jesus did not say, okay, I'll have a Bible study with you right now. This was not exactly the time or the place. He wanted to sit down with them, evidently. Come and see. And so they go to where Jesus is, and they sit down and they have a Bible. Where did that come from? Well, it came because John says, there's the Lamb of God. But there was that question that Jesus asked that led them to be intrigued by what he said. That's an amazing way that he did this. And what did Jesus say to them? If you want to learn, come and see. We may not all be able to teach individuals the scheme of redemption, but there's not a single one of us here who cannot say to others, come and see. You look at this, And there are some things that happen as a result of that coming and seeing. And I put the words unseen souls. And I've done that to emphasize a point, though the word come and see is not used. It comes as a result of this statement of come and see. And that is, that individual that you teach may lead others. The Bible says that one of those two individuals who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said, "We have found the Messiah." Can you imagine the joy that would be to someone like Simon who had all of his life and knew that someday someone was coming? And Andrew comes and says, "We have found the Messiah." And the translator says, or John puts the note in here, "That is the Christ." That person that you may teach the gospel to may in turn lead hundreds of others. We give all the glory and honor to Peter. What if there'd been no Andrew? And when you're out living in this world and there are employees, the fellow employees where you work, there are individuals in the stores where you shop, is there not an evidence, is there not some way that you can say something to them? There's no magic formula, but I'm telling you, if you can manifest that Christ is in you and that Christ has been good to you. I love talking to individuals just by asking this question. Where do you go to church? Can I tell you about a great, great church? Let me tell you about a great church. Do you really believe Palm Beach Lakes is a very, very special place? Visitors this morning came up to me and said, "This is really a super, super place to come." You believe that? Compare the spirit of love that there is here. I don't know where it's equaled anywhere on this earth. When our services end tonight, if typical of what we often do, we'll stand around and visit. Same thing that happens every Sunday morning. I'm amazed that, you know, our services go, and when they're ended, so many are not ready to go. Why? Why? There's something here. We love each other. And that's the very thing that may be absent. Are you excited about your brothers and sisters in Christ? Why would you not use that as an opportunity? And all you've got to do is say, "Come and see." And when they come and see the solemnity of the worship that we've had, when we have communion together, and the prayers that are prayed, and the concern and the compassion that there is, and the songs that we sing, and the sermons that are preached, what a blessing, what a treasure we have. And all it takes is for somebody to say to another, "We found the Messiah." The next verse talks about the following day, what happens. And there Jesus wanted to go into Galilee, and he found Philip and he said, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Isn't that remarkable? He knew Andrew and Peter. We've just been talking about Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael. Andrew found Peter. Philip found Nathanael. What did he do? He told Nathanael exactly. Or he told Nathanael exactly what Andrew told Peter. "We have found the Messiah." And so he says, "We have found the one of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote. We have found that one." And then all of a sudden prejudice comes. Jesus, no prejudice about that. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And all of a sudden there kicked in the heart, or from the heart of Nathanael, a prejudice that he had. We live in a time in which there is tremendous prejudice against those of us who believe the Bible. Some places, just to even perhaps say the word Church of Christ, may create prejudice, but the whole world in which we live is prejudiced against the very core part of what we are. That it's always right to do right. How strange does that sound in our pluralistic society, where you ought to be compassionate and receiving of every individual? And so here's Nathanael. And so when he hears the word Nazareth, his prejudice kicks in. What do you do with a prejudiced person? Come and see. Because they likely have never seen. What they have seen of Christendom is that which is portrayed on televisions and programs and things of that nature, and what they may have experienced in their life. They may never, ever have seen what's in this place. And so instead of browbeating them and trying to force them to come, just say to them, come and see. Come and see. And if we are what we claim to be in this building, when they walk into our building, they'll be treated differently from the way they're treated in other places. And they will see some things here they'd never see in a mega church. Absolutely never be able to see that love and the compassion and the family atmosphere and genuine concern. Think about that funeral yesterday for Richard and Judy. And the care and the compassion that was manifested by members of this church and manifested in the children of Richard and Judy and their part in this service. My, oh my, what an impact that had. Come and see. And every one of us can say those words, guys. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's real interesting. When Nathanael says, nothing good can come out of Nazareth, can it? Sometimes in our life, we'd say, he's so prejudiced, he'd never receive the gospel. We say something to them, and they immediately say something that they've heard others say, and they immediately turn away from it, and we turn away from them. Do you know what Nathanael is like? When he came to see Jesus, Jesus saw him coming and said, there is a man in whom there is no hypocrisy. Jesus' view was likely vastly different from Philip's view of his prejudiced friend Nathanael. We do not have a right to look at that individual who, because of the circumstances in which they find their lives, we do not have a right to immediately decide, I'm not going to say it to them. They wouldn't come if I said anything. How do you know? And had Philip been like many of us when we meet prejudiced people, we'd just turned away immediately. You know what Philip did? Philip said, come and see. You and I need to understand that there are honest souls that are there. What about Jesus and the woman in John chapter 4? Sinful people. How do you deal with sinful people in trying to get them to come to the Lord? People who've got their life all messed up. I'm talking about in John chapter 4, and there is that woman whom Jesus says, go call your husband. She says, I have no husband. And Jesus knows some things that we do not know, but sometimes we know some things about other individuals they don't know that we know. And he used the very fact that he knew this, she didn't have a husband, to start a religious discussion. I have no husband. And Jesus then reveals what he knew about her life. And she said, I perceive that you are a prophet. That's in verse 19. Whenever all the conversation goes, because Jesus had asked her for a drink of water. Isn't that amazing? Here's a sinful woman. Jesus knows she's an immoral woman. Five husbands, shacked up with a man number six. And what does he do? He starts a conversation that leads to a religious conversation. Could I have some water? Could we be wise enough to see things that are happening around us, to take that which is happening around us and start a religious conversation? And that's exactly what she did. And so she says, I see that you're a prophet. I've got a Bible question I'd like to ask you. I think it is ironic that Jesus never fully answered the question. Is it in this mountain or in Jerusalem? He says, the time is coming which all of this is going to be changed. And the Bible says, the woman says, I know that the Messiah is coming. And he's the one who's called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus says, I am the Messiah. She left her water pot and went back into the village. A sinful woman goes back into the village. And when she arrives in the village, she went to the people in that village and she says, come and see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Come and see. You know the result of that? The entire city comes out because she says, come and see. And if she can use those words in relationship to that entire city, isn't it remarkable how those things transpire? Come and see a man that told me all the things that I ever did. And then finally, let's talk about unseen teachers. And that is the women who came. They became teachers of the gospel when they came to the tomb. And the angel said to them, come and see where he was laying. Do you know how much that is the heart of Christianity? Who is this man Jesus? If you're in a conversation with any individual on this earth, as soon as you can, get Jesus to be a part of that conversation. Do you believe a man named Jesus ever lived on this earth? What a great question. There may be some atheists to say, I'm not sure. But you can begin with that very point. Do you know he claimed to be the Son of God? Do you believe he really did the miracles, that we have eyewitness accounts of these things happening? Are you aware in the first century that there's not any record of anyone ever denying that Jesus did one single miracle? They may have attributed it to the wrong source. Those are the kinds of questions that you can say to an individual who is an unbeliever and get them as soon as you can to Jesus. And then get Jesus in heaven in that conversation as the King of every person on this earth. Come and see. And if you'll lay that foundation and just say, there is something different on this earth. I found it. Where do you go? Let me tell you about where I worship God. Let me tell you about the people. Let me tell you about the sermon that I had. Let me tell you about our website. Let me tell you. You know, we got some. Could I bring you a booklet from the church about the very question that you've just asked? That's something every one of us can do. And evangelism in the church was never, ever limited to the evangelist. The church began. Persecution came, and they were all scattered abroad except the apostles. And they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. In this terminology that we've just used about being left to the evangelists stay in Jerusalem, and the masses go out. What do? Philip goes to Samaria and he says, "Let me tell you about Christ." That's where it all starts. And when we exalt Christ, we get to the authority of Jesus and the name of Jesus. Let me encourage every one of us to memorize three words and put them on our lips so that we can just say to others, "Come and see." If this place is different, then when they get here, they'll see it. And you and I need to understand that's where it all starts. And there are individuals in this church willing to teach. Come and see. Ask God to help you do this. Let's sing that song of invitation for those who are not children of God, to those individuals who need, because of the faith that they have, to make up their minds to follow Jesus. That's called repentance, that decision. And as a believer in Jesus, you this very minute could decide, this is the night I'm going to change my life and give it to Jesus. That's what repentance is. And when we know that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins, baptized into Him, be a part of His body, a part of His church, and then serve Him faithfully until the day you die, and heaven awaits you. If you're subject to an invitation, won't you come right now? Ask together, we stand and sing. Will you come?